This is Plan B, Episode 10, for June 11th, 2013. Welcome to Plan B, Jupiter Broadcasting's weekly talk show contemplating the future and present of Bitcoin, with insights for the novice, shop talk for the expert, and opinionated discussion for the interested observer of Bitcoin and related technologies. My name is Chris, and joining me every single week is my co-host, Drew.
Well, hello, hello.
Well, hello, hello, 10 episodes. Guess what, Drew?
Huh?
Big show.
What?
That's right, that's right. It's unavoidable. It's unavoidable. It's kind of been a crazy week. So we gotta talk about all the crazy events that have been going on in Bitcoin, and then we've got a couple of guests lined up for this week's episode. We definitely have one lined up. I haven't heard from the other one yet, but we'll see where that goes. But first thing we have to do is I want the chat room to call out right now as we're going what they think the price of Bitcoin will be at the end of the episode. Just put it in the chat room. Right now it's 108, and that's unique because I think last week when we were doing an episode it was around 121. And it really all kind of happened over the weekend. In fact, during the pre-show, the chat room was like, has Bitcoin gone crazy, you guys? What's going on? What's going on? Did you watch it over the weekend? The price just tanked?
No, I don't know. I just looked at it at one point and I was like, great. Here we go again.
I am impressed about that, about your ability. See, I have a ticker up on the screen always. I have a widget on my Android phone. Everywhere I go, I'm always aware of the price of Bitcoin. And you've kind of, I know you used to do that, and you've kind of said, you know, I'm just going to check it from time to time. And so I was watching it, and I'll tell you, I started seeing the price sell off go, I think it started happening almost right around the start of June, is where it's really, it's kind of been going on for several days, but then it really accelerated over this weekend.
Right.
And people have been trying to figure out, is this as a result of maybe funding issues with Mt. Gox? You know, all these different methods to get money into Gox are shutting down, right? That could totally be affecting it. People have speculated that people are concerned about regulation. Maybe that's affecting it.
That's a huge concern.
Yeah. And the other thing you got to wonder about is you got to wonder about a little potential foul play. Maybe from the same group in the past who were successfully DDoSing Gox, taking maybe a new approach. And the only reason I say this is I've seen some conversation threads on the Bitcoin Talk forums and on the subreddit. But also, there was this tweet that came out, and it was from this guy, which when I read his Twitter profile, Fontus, he's got 3,000. Almost read that the wrong way. But here is his tag on his Twitter profile. A guide to altcoin pumps, and he's got a little he's bragging about it. He's got a little imager link here where he's got like a little screenshot of bragging about how he helped pump and dump the Bitcoin market. That's in his profile. Mm-hmm. And he tweeted on May 31st, looking for one large BTC crash near June 8th, lasting 3 days with a 4-day recovery. If this does not happen, I'll be quite surprised. It's actually exactly what happened.
Sounds like some inside information.
Yeah, and what's notable, if you look at the Bitcoin chart around the time the crash happens, there was like a 20x volume in sales than what we had seen for the previous 2 weeks. Like it, the amount of Bitcoins that all of a sudden hit the market was 20x above what it normally is. That's right. A huge amount of volume. Huge amount of volume just all of a sudden out of nowhere. So it seems like a lot of people got together online and said, hey, we want a bunch of people to pool together their Bitcoins and sell them all at once. Well, if we're all going to sell anyways, let's sell them all at once. We'll bring the price down. And then those of us that want to buy back in, we buy back in at a lower price.
Sounds reasonable.
Sounds dirty to me, Drew.
True, I know.
But what are you going to do, right? I mean, this is what they can do. And, you know, and eventually, it seems like we settled down from the DDoS as they stopped freaking us out as much.
Right, yeah, it seems like there's not really any panic anymore. Like dropping $20-$30, everybody's like,
Right, and what's weird is Sunday, as the price was sliding pretty significantly below $100, a whale comes along and for like way above market price, like at a time when the market price was like $99 or something like that, maybe even lower, maybe somewhere in that range, he buys for like 107, 108. And then he buys 15,000 Bitcoins at once, or she. Totally reverses the direction of the market.
Right.
Kind of interesting. And was that a group buy? I mean, 15,000 Bitcoins, that's, even at 99 a coin, that's a significant amount of money.
Oh, yeah, huge.
I don't know, but interesting to watch. And of course, I've, not that I didn't intentionally, excuse me, but I did happen to sell off a bunch of Bitcoins at the 121 price point to pay for my new HTC One. And then it crashed pretty soon after. I was like, oh, I'm glad I sold off when I did. But be skeptical, people. That's all I'm saying. Well, we got a big show. Why don't we jump into our feedback first, like we like to do here on the Plan B show. You can email us, planb@jupiterbroadcasting.com, or hit that contact link at the top of our site, which always seems to actually work a little better because then it avoids the spam filter and stuff. This one came from Will. And Will wrote, you were talking with Adam on your recent episode about the ugliness, clunkiness of Bitcoin addresses and QR codes. Well, I think you should know about a website I found, to which I am in no way affiliated, that allows for one to embed an image within under a QR code. Take a look and play with it. The free ones aren't wonderful looking, but they're still cool. We actually got several emails about different Bitcoin shortening services.
Right, yeah, like third parties that give you like URLs or whatever to shrink the how much you have to deal with.
It just seems like there's a lot of trust issues there.
Yeah, that's what I put. It was mentioned in the subreddit. He gave us a couple links, and that was the main concern that I posted about. Is like you're kind of you're introducing that third party in between you and the person who you're trying to give coins to.
Right,
and it's probably all right, but it adds a layer of distrust to the whole thing. Like you said,
one thing that'll help a lot. With, I call it the ugliness just because, for example, in broadcasting or radio, I can't say, and send your donations to, and then give you a Bitcoin address over the microphone. That's just ridiculous.
Right.
And so then, what I have to hope is that you go to our website and you see it there. There has been discussion about somehow putting like a Bitcoin protocol handler into the HTML5 specification so that a browser would recognize a Bitcoin address and then know that this is sending off a payment to somebody, and it would either hand it off to the appropriate application or there would be some sort of internal, process.
Uh-huh.
Plugin. Kind of cool. That can make it easier. It doesn't solve the appearance. I plan to look at some of these shortening services. I think three or four kind of stood out that were recommended to us. I don't know, Drew.
If you're going to put an address in there, you're going to set it and forget it. I don't think you're going to go back and check to make sure that nobody's modified it,
Mm-hmm.
So it's like continual maintenance that it's going to have to be, right? I mean, if you're putting your address in there and then you post it online, if somebody gets a hold of it or if the person who hosts that service that shortens your Bitcoin address is a little nefarious, then I wouldn't go back every right. other day and check it.
You want it to almost be a peer-to-peer solution. So that way you can't have somebody shut down, then all of a sudden you're not getting your payment.
Right. Maybe a separate protocol that kind of works side by side with Bitcoin.
And something that where you couldn't have like somebody sitting at their headquarters and looking at every address that gets shortened and who's sending money to and from them.
Right.
So I almost wonder if it has to be built on top of Bitcoin itself.
I think so.
Or like BitPay does it. Like maybe BitPay could give you vanity addresses and they do the since they're already handling your payment processing, they'd handle the mapping maybe.
Yeah, it's true. I could see it going both ways.
Yeah. All right, well, Stefan writes in. He says, hey, guys. Well, hey, Stefan. Very interesting show. While I'm not a miner myself, it's funny. A lot of people who contact me who don't really follow Bitcoin closely, they always follow it up with, I'm not a miner. I think there's a lot of conception out there that people think that people who are in Bitcoin are mining. In fact, I've had people also tell me that, well, if you're not mining, why are you into it? So anyways, a former poor college student that cannot afford a high electric bill and new parts. I do have to say I enjoy the show. I do have a couple questions for both of you. First, how could CISPA or a similar bill affect Bitcoins or any other virtual currency? My second question is going back to episode 2 or 3 when the clip of Jimmy Kimmel was played on air, it was said that Bitcoin only has value of a bunch of nerds agree that it's worth. Isn't that kind of a basis of all currency, even gold? Maybe that's an oversimplification, but I also feel that the only reason Bitcoin is being picked up is because it's so new. I could go on about this, but I'll save you from that. Thanks for the great show, Stefan. So how could CISPA or other kind of cybersecurity slash snooping laws affect Bitcoin? What do you think?
This is something that you cover a little, or talked about a little bit in Unfilter, I think. So I think you might be a little bit more familiar with CISPA than I am. So, I mean, what is CISPA in a nutshell then?
It legalizes what we've recently found out is already happening. Yeah.
That's what I was going to talk about. It's like, well, yeah. You know, these laws kind of exist, but they're kind of irrelevant when the institution that, you know, oversees these laws can just override them.
It actually echoes exactly what happened with the telco industry. They began wiretapping based on government requests first, and then they passed laws to make it legal. It's actually exactly what happened. So, you know, I've also mentioned that there's no reason the federal government... Oh, boy, big sell-off going on right now, Drew. Big sell-off.
Oh, that's because we're alive.
I know. I've also mentioned that the federal government could, you know, download a copy of the blockchain themselves and just watch everything that everybody's spending, right? So, I wonder what kind of monitoring and analytics you could pull out from watching the blockchain very, very closely. Like if you had amazing computational power to really do analysis, because we've seen things where based on a few things that an anonymous person searched on, they were able to track down who these people were. I don't know if you remember, but there was a leak from AOL years ago where there was no names, but they were based on the information these people searched for and a few other things. They got down right to the person who did it. And there's always been these interesting ways to connect the dots, and it provides at least another data point. Even if it's not the whole way they track you, it's another way they can at least get data points. And actually, that's a big part of what Prism is about, is getting all of these different signals.
Right.
So there's that element to it. But I think if he's asking, if Stefan is asking, can CISPA stop it, shut it down? No. That's sort of the beauty of peer-to-peer. And you can block ports, you can block protocols, but you can only do it in small, isolated areas behind firewalls, inside corporate networks. But you can't do it internet-wide unless every single ISP with every single router out there at every single point did it. And if that was the case, then you would have seen BitTorrent and Tor shut down years ago. It's just, thankfully, in a lot of ways, the internet is very primitive. It's a very primitive system that is infinitely complex as well. And thankfully, as long as they don't screw with that design, Bitcoin is just one more packet that's being switched over these people's networks.
Right, yeah.
And you can't really stop it.
But the protocol, I mean, you can't really mess with it, but I mean...
And you can't go like, you can shut down Gox, you can shut down, you know, all these different, you can shut down Dwolla and Gox, you can shut down all the things around Bitcoin itself, but you can't really shut it down.
Yeah, and then people would be moving to, you know, like purchase goods or services or whatever, use an exchange that is offshore, I would think. Because I mean, I would think that CISPA applies specifically to the U.S.
Yeah, yeah.
Or any of these kind of cybersecurity legislations.
I think CISPA, so the big advantage, and this is in the Prism presentations, is that they say, the NSA says, United States of America has the home field advantage. Most of the important internet services are housed in the United States of America. Even if there's data centers offshore, they're operated by American, for some reason I'm getting more of an accent as I go, getting more pride. They are operated by American companies, they have American data centers, and in a lot of ways, you and I have less to worry about, though we still have a big problem, than they do. They are really being monitored. They're really being tracked.
Right.
So
yeah, they got to be the focus. I think the individuals are fine so far as we can tell.
When you think about it, it is kind of a freaky thing. It really does bother me quite a bit. I think the fundamental aspect of Bitcoin that if you zoom out is it defunds this system, right? It removes the power from this system. To a large degree. And it allows you to operate outside that system for now. So Bitcoin's way more destructive to those powers than those powers are to Bitcoin.
And that's why they're so freaked out about it.
I think so.
I think they got to be terrified. If not now, then in the near future. Because, I mean, even if Bitcoin fails, something like it could take its place.
This
even
week,
if it fails.
There's a Bitcoin Talk forum. I just scratched it from the show notes because we ran out of time. But... there is the IMF worked with, I think, a guy out of New York or somewhere to write up an analysis of Bitcoin's threat impact to the IMF. And one of the things they talked about is the IMF doesn't currently have any tools to, quote unquote, control Bitcoin like it does the other world currencies, because they don't have a funding mechanism to buy a huge amount of Bitcoin. And they're their control theory. So if they feel like if they ever needed to get in a position to control Bitcoin, it would have to be accepted as an IMF currency, which is only allowed for nation states right now. So that would require a massive restructuring of the way the IMF works. Then they would own a massive amount of Bitcoin, and that's how they would quote unquote control it, is their philosophy. But they don't currently, according to this analysis, have a way to do that. And so for them, they specifically state that they really have got no tools to use against Bitcoin as the International Monetary Fund.
That's good news.
It's good. It's good, but it also shows you they're really thinking about it already. I mean, they're taking this stuff a lot seriously, a lot faster than they used to.
Right. Yeah. There definitely has been a huge ramp up in terms of they must be, you know, this year alone, a lot of these bankster guys freaking out.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, maybe. Not really. I mean, they just seem to get a slap on the wrist and then move on. I mean, you know, it's funny. Here we were talking about that huge money laundering sting for, I'm drawing a blank on the name of it right now. We just talked about it last week.
Liberty Reserve.
Yes, thank you. I mean, to call that the largest money laundering scam compared to what things like HSBC and the other banks have done is almost criminal. It really is. So these bankers get away with everything.
Yeah, fortunately, they get to call other people criminals and, you know, define who is and who is not a criminal.
Well, Drew, one of the things that I recommend people do, you know, because the banks are getting you down, the price of Bitcoin, if it's going down, that might be getting you down. So this is the perfect time, like any, to maybe play a little Bitcoin gambling. So I thought we'd call up Paul from BitVegas. Now, you guys remember we've had Paul from BitVegas on the show before. And BitVegas just recently did a huge update. And, like, they redid, like, a ton of the lobby. They redid whole new maps, all that kind of stuff. And it looks so great. And BitVegas is such a fantastic example of taking some of the best things about the internet and putting them all in one spot. It lets you use your internet fun box money in an awesome way. It uses Minecraft in an extremely innovative way. And it involves community at a fundamental level. So I wanted to get Paul back on the show just to talk to him about what's going on with BitVegas and what they're up to. Paul, welcome back to Plan B.
Hello, nice to be back.
You are our first returning guest, by the way.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So nice to be part of the milestones.
So tell everyone what you guys have been up to over at BitVegas.
Well, we've been really, really busy. We've basically just scrapped the old casino and gone with a completely new one. Our old one was, I don't know, about 20 meters by 20 meters big. This one's 6 stories of huge floors. It's actually a lot bigger than I expected it to be myself, and that's due to getting a lot of volunteers in just to help build and get it all ready.
Yeah, that was my impression when I logged in for the first time. It is really massive. In fact, you even start outside the casino. You can
buy a demo.
Like a real world. You guys have gone. There's lots of little extras, just little, you know, nice touches everywhere. You have spots for community people just to hang out, like bars and bathrooms. Have you seen an increase in usage since the revamp?
The funny thing is, we've actually seen a slight decrease, and I think that just goes along with the whole Bitcoin in general has just lost a bit of interest. I believe that's what it is anyway. Also, some of our advertising places have stopped letting us advertise on there, such as Reddit.
Why would Reddit block you? Because of gambling?
Yeah, they've blocked all gambling sites. You might see that Satoshi Dice doesn't advertise on there anymore as well.
Oh, I just thought that was because they don't play in the U.S. anymore.
Well, that could be part of it too, but they won't let me on because of gambling, so.
Even though it's Bitcoin, huh?
Yeah, that's. I was just as shocked.
Because that seems like then they shouldn't allow any game that has any kind of virtual gaming inside of it.
Yep, I don't know the exact reason, but they just won't let me on.
So, all right. Well, you guys have still, even though the usage is down, you've rolled out this big update. It feels like you guys are in just the right position. You have just the right kind of combo of awesome off the grid kind of place to go hang out and have fun. I'm a little bummed to hear the usage is down.
Yeah, well, I think as of the last maybe week, it's been picking up back again, and that's thanks to us just getting out there and getting some advertising done. One of the newest things I have to mention is we've just partnered with a website called Bitcoin Get, which is a faucet for people just to get some free Bitcoins when they're getting started. And basically, we're teaming up with them so people can go on the site, do promotions, watch the ads, get free Bitcoins. But instead of having them build up and go to their Bitcoin wallet, they get sent directly to their BitVegas account.
That's cool. So they can get in and start playing without actually having to even really spend any money.
Exactly. So that's quite a big partnership for us, just due to the fact people will go to that website, and when we launch on the homepage, they'll be able to see that they can have it directly sent to BitVegas instead of their Bitcoin wallet. And I think that's just one of the many streams that will get us a bunch of new players.
So where do you guys see yourselves going as, say, things kind of pick up and keep going forward? What's kind of next?
We've got a lot of things planned. Like in the new casino, we've already added a bunch of things. Like we've got slot machines now. We've added in the drinks, like you said, so people can just casually have a drink, which you can also win money off. We added in the high rollers room, which means we've increased our maximum bet from 1 Bitcoin to 2 Bitcoins. And even to get into the high rollers room, you need to have 1 Bitcoin in your account or the business won't let you in, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
If you go under, does it kick you out?
No, it doesn't actually kick you out at this stage. I thought about that, but I figured if people are just betting and they slightly go under, it'll be kind of annoying to get kicked out.
You're right, right.
So we'll see what we do with that. But as for features upcoming, we have poker, which did actually launch in the old casino, but it was a bit buggy at the time, so I had to pull it out. And then with all this new casino being built, it's kind of been put more and more on hold. But that's on the top of the priority list for the next one because we have just so many people interested in poker.
I bet.
We have an item store coming, which is you're going to be able to buy some items for your character, some other things that might be in there, like might be pets. So people can buy a little, I don't know, pet pig or something to follow them around, just some cool stuff.
That is really good. Well,
yeah.
I think what we have is sort of Bitcoin seems to have, at least historically, little surges here and there in publicity. And every time there's a big peak and a bunch of people rush in. And honestly, the last time we had a big rush, a lot of the infrastructures just didn't handle it and they disappointed and let a lot of people down. And so a lot of people left. But yep. More people stayed around than were here last before, right? We had more people retention. I think the same thing's likely to happen each time something major kind of happens. There'll be a spike, we'll have a little retention, and it's just going to continue on like that. So right now, you guys can kind of build, and every time, you know, there's a big news story that breaks or something like that, you'll probably see a little bit of bump in usage.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The way I see it is I actually do a bit of buying and selling on localbitcoins.com, and I've been advertising on there for a fair while now and not had a lot of interest. And just recently, since we did the drop to under 100, I've just had a ton and ton of buy orders come in. And that
shows
everyone's getting interested again now that the price is... I think people feel we're hitting a new bottom and it can only go up kind of thing. That's what a lot of people seem to think anyway.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think that's putting a lot of interest into Bitcoin again.
Yeah, in truth, the recent drop probably helped a lot of people buy back in. And I think that's why... after we saw the whale buy on Sunday, a lot of people said, okay, that's it. It's going back up again. Let's all buy again. And people have waited for – I waited. When it got down to 102, I bought 2 Bitcoins.
Oh, there you go.
So, I think I'll let that sit around for a little while. You'll probably see me in BitVegas spending them pretty soon.
Well, that's good. When it hit 100, I actually – when it dropped down to 99, I sold a bunch of mine. Regretting that now, but I'm no trick.
Hey, before I let you go, are you worried at all when you saw that Satoshi Dice was like, we're pulling out of the U.S.? Did that make you go, wait a minute, should I worry about that?
Not really. The way they did it, I think they're just being precautionary. There's been no gambling services shut down that I've seen yet. Also, we're not hosted in the U.S. The server's actually hosted in Europe, and I myself based in Australia, so I don't know. I don't really have any concerns yet, and I do actually see a lawyer about it too, like I mentioned last time.
Yeah, You've taken precautions there, and you know, I think to me, it kind of seems like it's a half-hearted attempt on their part because you can still get to it through third-party services like blockchain.info. You can, you know, use Tor. I mean, they kind of just basically it's almost lip service.
Yeah, well, you don't even need to go on the Satoshi Dice website to bet. It's all you need to do is send the Bitcoins to the address. So
yeah, yep. All right, Paul, well, awesome work on the site. I'll be in there soon to play. Drew just recently dropped a few coins in there, so he was still stinging from that one, but I'm sure you'll see him in there soon too.
Yeah, sounds good. I might see him at the bar sometime.
All right, we'll keep in touch and keep up the great work.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
I'm just so impressed with BitVegas. It's such a cool mash of Minecraft and Bitcoin and community, you know, because a lot of the community has built or maybe all of the community has built that casino.
Right. Yeah. I think he had like 10 guys building it for quite a while. And yeah. I think it's like six stories or something. There's a man, I walked in there and I was like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah.
It is quite massive.
Yeah. So if you haven't checked, you know, in fact, if you guys just go load up Minecraft and then go to multiplayer mode and they just put bitvegas.net in there and connect.
I think it's M or MC bit.bitvegas.
Oh, okay. Well, you go to bitvegas.net if I got the address. Oh, yeah. It's on there. But yeah, okay, maybe it is. I don't know if it's MC. I forget. But I already had it in my thing. But you just go check it out. You get the play coins and you don't have to spend any money. Just be impressed what community can do around Bitcoin. Oh, now, here's something you might not have heard. The world's first baby, Bitcoin baby, is born. How about that? Okay, it is mc.bitvegas.net, by the way. The world's first Bitcoin baby was bought, and the insemination process was bought with Bitcoin. The baby itself was birthed by a mother. This is actually a crazy story because Dr. Lee, is a Bitcoin enthusiast, and he was working on different ways to fund his practice. And so he did the initial consultation via Bitcoin. He said, all right, yeah, if you want to come talk to me, you can pay me in Bitcoin. But look, this is expensive, and this is going to be complicated. And to make matters worse, his clients didn't really quite understand what Bitcoin was. So he like had to give them a little education on how to buy Bitcoins and things like that. But being the entrepreneurial parents that they were willing. So they found a patient that will pay him in Bitcoins via Reddit, which is kind of funny. In total, the whole process was 30 Bitcoins. Now, this was a little bit ago, so Bitcoins have actually gone up in value since then. But the whole process from consultation to in vitro fertilization cost the parents 30 Bitcoins, which was around $3,600 at the time, USD. I think that's kind of crazy, right?
Yeah, and he had to hold their hands to get them to buy the money too, to buy the Bitcoins. He had to go through like a defunct exchange over in Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
This and that, all the way, this and around, you know. But he said he had the sign on the front of his door for like forever, and not a single person ever asked about it.
That is, I don't know about that one. I'm pretty big on Bitcoin, and that would probably, like, if I saw that sign, I'd probably
gather
do
your
it.
Friends. Let's go.
I'd probably do it. Yeah, I guess so.
Anybody have friend Rachel?
Well, we're talking about babies and family stuff. I wanted to get our next guest on the line, so I'm going to give them a ring right now. Let's see here. Now, this is something else. If you haven't seen the Kickstarter project, there is a couple that wants to live 90 days on Bitcoin. Hi there. This is Chris from Plan B.
Hi, Chris. This is Austin Craig.
Hi, Austin. Thanks for coming on Plan B. You're live on the show right now, and we were just starting to set up what you guys are doing. I just caught this the other night, and why don't you tell everybody what your goal is and what your project is all about?
Well, the project, we're calling it Life on Bitcoin. It's going to be a documentary film about an experiment that my fiance and I are going to conduct after we get married. We're going to try to live the first 90 days of our post-honeymoon married life exclusively on Bitcoin. So that means all expenditures for everything we make, for groceries, gas, rent, whatever we may need to use in our everyday lives, will be spent only in Bitcoin.
Now that seems like a pretty interesting proposition. We've seen people out there who've done a week on Bitcoin. People have done some road trips on Bitcoin. I think one thing that was considered controversial that maybe people misunderstood at the start was a lot of people thought, well, why are you doing a Kickstarter?
The Kickstarter is for the documentary, and I realize now I should have made that more clear. The documentary film crew is going to be following us around for the 3 months that we're doing this. They're also going to be traveling around interviewing other people who are involved with Bitcoin one way or another, and interviewing them, getting expert opinions, so that we can explore the broader issue, but also so that they can follow us for 3 months and get this human story that kind of helps illustrate what Bitcoin is all about.
Right, because the film crew isn't taking a Bitcoin challenge.
No, they sure aren't. I don't think they're ready for that.
So how are you guys going to do this? You know, we talked with Cashmere Hill from Forbes, and she had designed a stringent set of rules. In fact, I would consider maybe overly strict in some regards. Have you guys thought about this? Have you been brainstorming like, well, maybe for bills we'll allow a proxy service? Or what are your thoughts on the rules?
Well, the rules are what we're trying to do. We've outlined some rules for ourselves, and we're going to be putting those up and publishing them publicly pretty soon. We want to reduce as many intermediaries as possible. I know there are services that will connect people so that they can pay in Bitcoin and the receiver can receive money, but we want to use as few of those as possible. The test of Bitcoin as a currency is going to be whether we can regularly use it, whether we can use it for normal everyday things. And we'd like to do that directly with the person that we're interacting with the person that we're exchanging with. So the goal is to do all of our transactions as directly as possible. And the baseline bare minimum is that we can never touch any dollars. We can't use them for anything.
But I'm over on lifeonbitcoin.com where I can donate to the Kickstarter. And one of the things I notice is you have some potential like stretch goal type things with road trips, right? I love this idea because this sort of ends up spreading the word about Bitcoin. And that brings me to my next question. What's your background in Bitcoin? Are you both Bitcoin enthusiasts, or how did this come about?
My background in Bitcoin is minimal. It's mostly just interest. Professionally, I'm a video marketer, and I've worked in video production and acting for a few years now. But technology has always fascinated me. And I heard about Bitcoin a couple years ago and read about it, and I was reading about Bitcoin mining, and I thought, hey, let's give that a try. That sounds interesting. But quickly realized it was way beyond my technical skill, and still is today, even if I wanted to get into that. But I think what that allows me to do as a pretty average person who's not highly, highly technical is it puts me in the right position to do this kind of experiment. But can a normal person use Bitcoin? Can it be used in that way for everyday transactions? So honestly, I'm not terribly into Bitcoin right now. I imagine we'll become fairly expert pretty soon.
That's going to the deep end there for that one.
Yeah,
90 days is going to be, I would imagine in order to do 90 days, you will have to do some sort of negotiating with a fair amount of people you're buying goods or services from, right? You're going to have to try to convince them to take Bitcoin.
Yeah, for all of our basics, I imagine we're going to have to be educating a lot of people, educating them on what Bitcoin is, what its benefits are, and then negotiating with them how to do this, and then walking them through the process of getting set up with a Bitcoin wallet and being able to work that into their accounting system. These are things it's going to be learning by getting thrown in the deep end, but I figure we will learn fast that way.
Now, did I catch on Reddit that your fiance's employer, she does contract work or something to that extent, they're going to pay her in Bitcoin during this process?
Yeah, that's right. We talked to them last week. You know, we've been working on this for at least a couple months, and she hadn't talked to her employer until last week. And she said, hey, I'm doing this project. I just wanted to let you know that work is always going to be my top priority. I'm not going to let this take a backseat, let my job take a backseat to the project. But I wanted you to be aware, and I'd love to have your support. Really not knowing how they'd react. But thankfully, her employer said, that's awesome. That's so cool. How can we get involved? Can we, you know, we're working something out right now where maybe they'll be one of the sponsors of the film. And they want to be able to pay her in Bitcoin. We haven't negotiated how exactly that's going to happen yet, because we're probably going to set it up when the documentary starts. But they were super supportive. And so that's another layer to this film, is we're going to be receiving our payment for our jobs in Bitcoin.
That is, oh, you both are.
I'm certainly going to try. I do a lot of contract work. Okay. I know one of my employers that I do regular work with, they've agreed to this. They're very supportive. But I also do freelance acting and video marketing consulting. So we'll see if the people that I'm working with are game for it. And if they're not, you know, maybe we turn down the gig, or maybe we do the gig, but I can't touch that money at all during the duration of the project.
Oh, interesting. That'd be difficult.
Yeah.
Especially
when, you know, if it comes down to a point where we're living in some way that's really not comfortable. You know, I know one shop around here that it's a sandwich shop that accepts Bitcoin.
Oh, really? Well, that's something.
So that's one thing. We won't starve, right? We'll have sandwiches.
We'll
but
have
I
sandwiches.
Imagine after a week, we'll get really tired of sandwiches.
Right.
So it might be interesting if we reach a level of discomfort where that's a temptation. But part of doing this on Kickstarter and doing it on the web is that we're completely accountable to our audience. We can't cheat. We'd get caught right away.
And you folks are located in which city?
We're in Provo, Utah.
Okay. Oh, wow. So there's a sandwich shop in Provo, Utah that takes Bitcoin.
Yeah.
There you go. See, Drew, it's everywhere now. It's official.
They come out of woodworks. It's kind of funny. When we announced this, I've had a lot of people from my own neighborhood say, like, hey, I use Bitcoin. And I never would have known if we hadn't put this out.
There you go. And what's neat about this is at the end, you're actually producing a documentary that I'll be able to get on disc or download, right? Is that the goal?
That's right. We're going to produce a documentary, and that's what the Kickstarter is for. We're trying to raise $70,000 to produce this documentary. So we've hired a crew in Salt Lake and they've come on board. They've done a lot of short form documentaries, but they've signed on for this feature length project. And they're super excited to follow us around for 3 months, documenting everything we do, the challenges we face, the things we learn. And then they're going to be editing for months afterwards. And it'll probably take the better part of a year to get the fully finished documentary together. But by the end of that, I think we may have a really interesting and hopefully very educational piece in our hands.
Very good. Well, Austin, best of luck to you. So folks can go to lifeonbitcoin.com or go search Life on Bitcoin on Kickstarter. We'll have links in our show notes if you want to join. Of course, there's perks in there. I backed the project. I think I'm going to get... What did I get? I am a Bitcoin enthusiast backer. That's what I am. So there you go. Because I am. So very good.
Great. Well,
will you keep us posted on the progress and how things go? And of course, we'll be keeping an eye on things. But let's stay in touch, okay?
Absolutely. We'll stay in touch.
All right. Best of luck to you both. And we'll talk soon.
Thanks.
Bye. There you go, Drew. See, those guys are braver than us. We're just doing some stinking podcast.
I know, man. I'm kind of worried about it. I don't know.
There was a lot of like blowback, like, what do they need a Kickstarter for? And then, you know, I'm like,
why didn't people figure that out? It's like,
it seems obvious to me that you got to pay a production crew if you're going to have it. Like, if you're going to do a good job and to spread the word about Bitcoin, you want a good looking documentary, right? You want it to look professional.
Right. And this isn't part of the challenge. I mean, crazy for people to panic about that. I was like, that's obviously what the 70 grand is for. I didn't even know that they had a Bitcoin donations because I only went to the Kickstarter thing, but I was like,
that's obviously
what it's for.
Yep, they're taking Bitcoin donations too. We'll have links to that stuff in the show notes. All right, I have one more discussion piece that I wanted to talk about before I got to our moment of Zen in honor of John Stewart's summer vacation. So I don't know if these guys are the big dog in town, but Dapper be good though. I like the idea of a Dapper. Right. I go to Dapper U. Dapper University is now accepting Bitcoins for tuition. Dapper University is a San Mateo. It's in California, if you don't know. And they've started accepting Bitcoins for tuition and recently processed their first Bitcoin payment for their summer program, which starts later this month. According to information released by Dapper U, not Dapper, the educational institution has become the first to accept Bitcoin for tuition. Dapper, which bills itself as an unconventional world-class boarding school for the biggest young entrepreneurs from around the world. The brightest. That word makes a lot more sense. These guys also accept other non-traditional forms of payment like barter, equity, profit sharing. Oh, that's interesting.
Which is pretty interesting.
These are not like an accredited university. They're like an incubator extreme, I think.
Next-gen
incubator,
maybe.
Yeah, I
don't know how to describe it. Their website is pretty cool, though, except for the fact that it plays videos every page you go to. But it seems like a very, very cool concept.
That's because they're high-tech.
I know, right?
Boom.
Vimeo, what?
Yeah. Well, all right. So I wanted to play. There's a little interview on Bloomberg, and for some reason, Bloomberg has—I don't know why—but they have done a consistent and frequent coverage of Bitcoin, and I'm not complaining. I think it's great, but I just I'm surprised. And so they brought on a guy who's a former Amazon investor back in the day, and they asked him a few questions about Bitcoin, and he says, I think his point in conclusion here is, even if Bitcoin itself isn't successful, the idea has become successful.
So will the future be Bitcoin? According to my next guest in a recent Wall Street Journal op-ed, he says the digital currency called Bitcoin may or may not survive long term, but it has already succeeded on one front, making people think seriously about an alternative form of money. More such alternatives to traditional currency will likely emerge. Bob Gelfond is the founder and CEO of global macro hedge fund MQS Management. Bob, Eric likes to tease me about talking about Bitcoin all the time. You're not investing in it, but you are very interested in it. Why?
Well, I think it's the start of sort of a brave new world in a way, just the way that the internet has completely revolutionized many new industries, businesses. I think the same thing is starting to happen with money as well.
All right, so that's pretty interesting, especially as somebody who's done investing in early internet startup companies. I don't feel like he's fully informed about Bitcoin, and I'm going to play a little more. But here's what he's saying. He's saying the idea is going to usher in a brave new world. And I propose to you Drew, that what sounds like a very simple, nonchalant thing to say is actually a very, very big idea that, if you think about it, is world-changing.
Bigger than Bitcoin? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
the idea itself, I think, is bigger than Bitcoin.
The idea that Bitcoin is sort of solidifying in people's minds is that a non-state-backed currency has a lot of advantages. And that is just a conversation that, sure, the fringe has been having for forever, since there's been a state-backed currency. But the mass majority, the tech elite, the investor VCs, they haven't been thinking about this. And now all of these people together are thinking of all of the millions of individual advantages to having a peer-to-peer currency backed by the people. And that is something that will never be turned off. Even if Bitcoin crashes to zero, that idea now, that seed's been planted. And I think that's big if you think about it.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, it definitely is.
Now, I want to play a little more into this because it starts to go off the rails.
Do you believe Bitcoin will do for currency what Napster did for music?
It's very possible, and they may have Napster's path as well, where the authorities come down on them, and either they'll have to change the way they operate. But even in the case of Napster, we saw iTunes and Pandora, Spotify come on to figure out a way to create a viable business model.
But the point is that now that Bitcoin exists, we are beyond the point of no return.
I think so, yeah. The genie's out of the bottle.
So what would it take for you to buy some?
Well, right now, I don't, you know, first of all, it's a very small market. I mean, we trade, you know, currencies, and the volume of Bitcoin versus something like the yen is minuscule. And, you know, also how you value something like this is, you know, I haven't quite figured out yet, but it's certainly something, you know, I'm going to keep an eye on it.
There's also been some mishaps on some of the exchanges like Mt. Gox. Certainly the government and regulators are looking into it.
Yeah, there's no doubt that you can't operate outside the rules. The government takes this stuff very seriously, things like money laundering, and you know, you're going to have to play by the rules. And that's what we saw with Pandora and these other groups in music.
So just as Pandora and Spotify and now Apple, for example, have gone and improved upon what was once Napster, how would you build a better Bitcoin? How would it be, your digital currency, be different from what Bitcoin is? How would it?
Now, before I let him answer that question, you see how they're discussing Bitcoin like it's owned by some VC-backed Silicon Valley startup that they could just pivot their business model and all of a sudden they're legal, right? They're talking about it like it's owned by some corporation.
Yeah.
They struggle to grasp with the concepts, even that core concept, because to them, I think it's such a foreign idea, right? That some currency might not be controlled by some elite. That just isn't how things work. But now listen to how he would build a better Bitcoin. And if this isn't the strongest argument why we need Bitcoin and not something else, I don't know what is.
Function.
Well, the idea that I came up with and wrote about, as this is just, you know, one possibility, is to have the companies that have cloud computing services issue call it a certificate that will give the owner of that certificate 1 hour of computing time, and the owner could decide to cash that in right away, or they could hold on to it where, you know, for a year from now, 2 years from now, computers will be more powerful, and so that 1 hour certificate will have more value in some sense, and that might be a way for the market to start evolving.
So as this market evolves, and
so he's saying that what we should do, he's saying the idea of cryptocurrency is great, but it needs to be owned by the corporations. Amazon have a crypto coin, Google has a crypto coin, and then users go buy time, like shared time on the mainframe, and then I would trade my shared time for you for goods. Like, we could exchange our time coins as a currency, and they wouldn't let you buy anything other than time, so they still have value. And his idea is it's cloud computing value. He writes about this. It's cloud computing value where it gives the little users something to trade back and forth with their adorable little coins, but it's still owned and controlled by the corporations, and all the value goes back into the corporations.
He's trying to make it top down. Like, why are people trying to reverse the way in which this whole thing functions?
Preach, you know? It, sister. Preach it. This is what he basically, Bitcoin's great except for the whole fundamental way that's designed. Is what he's saying. It is totally a top-down, where Bitcoin is a bottom-up approach that empowers the user. And honestly, if I could be like an old man sitting in front of a fire, rocking in my chair, reading on the Kindle 17 or whatever it's going to be, smoking my pipe. I would love at that point in my life for all of these different services just to use Bitcoin as like internet money. And if you want it, you don't have Xbox points, you don't have PlayStation points, I don't have Cryptic coins or Zen coins on Stow or Cartel coins on Star Wars The Old Republic. It's all Bitcoin. It's all Litecoin all across the board, and I can move it between all of them.
And that fragmentation probably started Bitcoin to some degree, or at least, you know, spurred the idea of it. Instead of having, yeah, like you're saying, all these different points on all these different platforms, it doesn't really make sense when you can have one uniform system peer-to-peer with no central authority that's not, you know, you have very little risk, and they don't have to manage it, right? They don't have to manage the actual protocol or you know, like with the Xbox points or whatever, you don't have to manage
right.
It's a
whole infrastructure load off. They're off. It's not even their problem anymore.
They're offloading it to individuals.
I know. So what I think, I don't think we'll see it on these services, but maybe services that replace them in the future. What is funny is this whole concept that it shows such a fundamental misunderstanding of how Bitcoin works. And I think it's interesting that this guy is supposedly this big VC funder, and yet think about this. Like, if all of a sudden Google time was this scarce commodity and I could only use Google Docs as long as I had enough Google coins, nobody would use Google Docs. It would collapse their entire industry, because the whole thing is this free, all you can eat. You want to leave a Google Doc open in a tab all day long? Go at it. Haas.
Artificial
time restrictions on top of that it's silly. It would kill the market, because nobody's going to use these services if they're restricted like that.
Right. You can't go back. Like, people are not going to go, oh, all right, I can have the internet all the time, anytime, but now I want to reduce it to 1 or 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to introduce scarcity into something that is kind of pervasive. Right?
So,
the internet, trying to, you know.
I was just rolling my eyes. I'll let it play out. We'll let him continue, because how to improve upon Bitcoin.
Matures, like we saw with Napster and others came after it, how do you invest? How do you get in on this game early?
Well, I think there's some startups I'm not involved in that are working on coming up with ways to deal with payment processes and sites that are merchants that are willing to deal with Bitcoin and other digital currencies. So I'm not sure, you know, as yet what the best way to invest, but it's certainly something to pay attention to.
Well, Bob, you were one of the early investors in Amazon almost 20 years ago, based on the promise of digital currency and the way you envision it growing beyond what Bitcoin is today. Would you consider investing in one of these businesses?
Oh, certainly, if you know the right opportunity came along. I mean, I don't do as much angel investing as I used to, but certainly for the right opportunity.
Why do you think this idea of alternative forms of currencies is so hot right now?
I think people are very concerned, and rightly so, about the paper currencies, the government created currencies that we have. They see central bankers experimenting in different ways without really understanding or appreciating what how these experiments are going to work out, and people are concerned, is dollar in my pocket, is that going to be worth anything 5 years from now?
So why not just turn to gold? Why is all the money coming out of gold right now?
And you see, I really am impressed. First of all, I'm impressed that Bloomberg is continuing to cover Bitcoin when a lot of the other news agencies. When we started this show, I had so many clips that people were complaining about me having too many clips. This is the only clip we have this week, right? Because
there's no drugs and all that stuff.
Right. Exactly.
What?
This is like they're talking about Bitcoin. They're not having a go at it. They're just like they're asking, you know, is it going to improve? They get the fundamentals wrong, but they're asking the right question there. They ask, how do you invest in it? That's the right question to ask. I mean, and then they're asking, why are people turning to it? These are all really good questions. And I thought I'd just play out the gold aspect of this, because I know we have a few people listening who have been following gold, are kind of interested in gold and Bitcoin. So I'll let them answer that.
You know, it's interesting. You know, it seems like there's possible slowdown coming out of China and other places. Commodities in general are getting hit. Growth is coming back a little bit in other places. So hard to say. But you know, just in the case of something like cars, we have more than one brand of cars. There's no reason that we can't have more than one brand of money that is.
But we do. We have gold. We have silver. We have platinum. Some people consider those other precious metals a quasi currency.
Yeah,
money,
if
you like.
They consider it a store of value, as a way to store your wealth, but they don't have the liquidity to be a medium of exchange. Right. That's the crucial part about something being money. It has to be liquid enough so that, you know, you could use it to buy your lunch today.
Do you know of any institutional money that is going into Bitcoin and digital currencies?
I've heard some VCs who are investing in startups, but nothing beyond that I know of.
How long do you think it'll take for that industry to mature? Is not the right word, because that could be years away.
Evolve.
But to kind of get off the ground.
It's hard to say, because something, you know, we've seen with other things involving the internet, the speed can be very fast. So I would think certainly within the next 5 years, we'll see a very different world than we do today with regards to these currencies.
I thought Nexu was, sums it up real good. Right questions, wrong person to answer. But he did have some interesting insights, specifically in the how long do you think it's going to take? He notes that it seems like things are moving faster in technology than they used to. I agree. I mean, you talk about, we were just talking with Austin, and he says, yeah, there's a sandwich shop here in Utah. And it's like, what, really? Okay. And my wife, Angela, was at the hairdresser today. And somehow they got on the topic of Bitcoin, her hairdresser. And she says, yeah, well, we were thinking about gold, but now we're looking at Bitcoin too. And that's like, Angela's like, well, you should, do your research. That's not necessarily, because Angela's seen the price go up and down a few times. But I don't know of anything else that's kind of gone from internet techie thing into closer and closer into public consciousness like this. Like, what else has moved
quickly.
This fast?
It seems like, yeah, I know, right?
It seems like it's moving at lightning speed.
It definitely is. And the thing that he was talking about with gold and all that is, why don't you just invest in gold or precious metals and all that? On the Bitcoin Reddit today, I think France has made it illegal to mail precious metals.
Yeah.
And for people who should probably not forget is that the U.S. government under FDR made it illegal to own gold.
Didn't they seize? Or I don't know.
They had some kind of weird timelines. And also, they can make you register, when you purchase it, you're registered as having owned that gold. And I guess it kind of becomes like a gun thing. We have to, go through all that registration and transfer of all that stuff. So, that'd be an interesting thing for him to have brought up.
I think the bigger story about that interview on Bloomberg is because of his pedigree, his past in investing in a lot of successful companies, when he says things like that about Bitcoin, people listen to him. So even if he didn't give all the answers, the way we wanted to hear them or would have liked to, it was overall pretty positive, and he is somebody you want talking about this stuff. So it's good news for Bitcoin there. Interesting news for France about the restriction of precious metals. I think you know what the answer is. Everybody should just go out and play a little BitVegas.
Oh.
Those BitVegas guys should be sponsors of this show.
I know.
If Reddit doesn't want them, we'll take them. We'll take them. Probably more effective, too. If you'd like to get a hold of the show, you can email us planb@jupiterbroadcasting.com or go over to the Jupiter Broadcasting website and then just hit the contact link at the top of our site. And guess what? When you hit that, you can choose Plan B from the dropdown, or even better, we have a fantastic subreddit over at planbshow.reddit.com. And there's always discussions going on there, as well as links to each episode where you can give us feedback. There's a little conversation thread. People go in there and they tell us what's up, which I like. Did you know the Bitcoin tip bots doing Litecoin?
I think I saw something that said altcoin on some part of some subreddit somewhere.
I got tipped $10 in Litecoin, but I didn't accept it in time because I didn't know. I'm a jerk.
We should have asked Mr. Paul about Litecoin.
Vegas. We should have. Oh well, we'll have to get him on the show in the future.
Oh, I guess so.
All right, so there you go. You can go over to the subreddit and engage the community. planbshow.reddit.com. Brand new, just getting started, so it's a good time to get over there. And if you've got a little Reddit love in you and you like doing the theming and skinning, that's just not something I'm very good at. If you'd like to take that on, just contact me. Just email the show planb@jupiterbroadcasting.com and let us know. You can also text message us or give us a call 1-352-58-PLAN-B. That's 1-352-587-5262. Don't forget, we'd also like to get a comment or rating in the iTunes store. It helps people find the show. When you rate and comment, then it juices the iTunes algorithm and it says, okay, well, if they get a couple more of these, then we're going to start placing them higher in the store. And if 3 or 4 or 5 are, it only really takes even 5, 6, 7, 10 of you, which means if you're listening and you use iTunes, that's you. to go in there and do this. And then we work our way up the charts. People find out about Bitcoin. People coming in looking for information about Bitcoin. Now is a good time. As that price goes down, people start getting curious because it gets to a point they can afford. They start doing the research. So it's a great time to spread the link. If you like something from the show, maybe submit the time link to the Bitcoin subreddit. You can go right to YouTube, find the moment you like in YouTube, and then hit the advanced options, and you can actually share the exact moment in the show on the Bitcoin subreddit. That way, you don't have to waste their time with the rest of our amazing show. Right, Drew?
Yeah.
We're also taking your tips. We'll have a tip address and the QR code in the show notes. Thank you, everybody. We got lots and lots. I think we almost got a total of a Bitcoin.
Hey.
Just from last week's episode. So that's awesome. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate all the tips. If you enjoy an episode, that's one way we're gauging how much you enjoy the show, is based on your tips. So you can find the link or the code for that. Not really a link yet, but you can find our Bitcoin address and a QR code in the show notes. And don't forget to join us live. Boy, I'm going through all of our vegetables right now. The show is live on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. GMT. And you can hang out in our awesome chat room, chat with us live, and join us for the pre and post show, which are even more Plan B. So if you like Plan B, you get even more if you join live. Don't forget, links to Drew and my social profiles in the show notes. Drew, have a great week, man.
Oh, yeah, you too.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning to this week's episode. Wait a minute. Why am I playing Coder Radio?
Yeah, I was like,
how did that happen?
I was scratching my head over here going, huh.
Here we go. You know what? What happened is my button moved on me. There we go. It could be Coder B. Wait, Plan Coder? Plan Radio. That's not working out.
Plan B Coder.
I guess if we would have called it Bitcoin Radio, could have been closer.
Oh, yeah.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks so much for tuning in this week's episode of Plan B. That's this show. Thanks so much. And join us next week, won't you? Oh, I want to mention RSS feeds in the show notes. Browse over to Plan B. Click on episode 10. Go down. You see the download links? Just below download links? RSS feeds. You can subscribe. Get the show weekly. Thanks, everyone.